Welcome everyone. The gods are the species of Holy Leonard that was ever to be there to strong for a day yesterday. And prepared today share in Ursuleach. Now what beautiful shekel player that compares Parshas Bay to Parshas Vaera, and one that compares Parshas Bay to Parshas Bishalach. Let's go in order. The first in the sefer called Hegyaynei Rashi, that's among the sefer I've been familiar with in the past. This sefer, he wants to explain the first Rashi in the parasha. Vayin Hashem El Maisha by El Parai, Rashi says the Hisrabai, and warn him. Well, Maisha Rabbeinu has been coming to Parai and warning him for seven previous Makkos. It's a bit strange that Rashi should insert here, by El Parai, come to Parai, the Hisrabai, and warn him. And therefore, there must be a deeper idea, and as you know, Rashi is always coming to explain something that has to do with the pshat and the text of the psalm. And he explains as follows. He says, in all the Makkos, certainly all the Makkos through Makkos Arabet, there were two descriptions of the Makkos. One, when Rabbeinu Shlomo spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, he told Moshe Rabbeinu what the Makkah would be. And then, well, Moshe Rabbeinu repeated it to Parai. Moshe Rabbeinu told Parai, he warned him of an impending Makkah. Throughout Parshas Va'era, the Torah explains the Makkah when HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks to Moshe. And then it says that Moshe came to Parai and passed on the message. But the explanation is when Hashem speaks to Moshe in the first conversation. Makkas Arba is different. In Makkas Arba, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe by El Parai, does not say what the Makkah is, at least the Pasuk doesn't tell us that he said it, but the Pasuk Gimel and Daled, we are Moshe and Aaron come to Parai, and the Makkah is described in conversation number two, in the conversation from Moshe to Parai. Why is there a change? What is the reason for the change? So he explains that in both cases, or in all eight cases, the Makkah was first described from Hashem to Moshe, and then from Moshe to Parai. However, it is the Derech, the style of the Torah, to put its dogish, to put its accent on whichever is the Iker, whichever is the main point where something can be described twice, let's look for where it had its greatest influence. In the seven previous Makkos, Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to Parai did not influence Parai. Parai remained hardened to the message, and it was really a useless message, a purposeless, and it was purposeful, and that Hashem told him to do it, but didn't accomplish the purpose of convincing Parai of anything. So therefore, in the previous seven Makkos, the Torah describes the details of the Makkah when the Kadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe in the first conversation, rather than when Moshe spoke to Parai in the second conversation. In the two Makkos in Parshas Bay, it's different. Here, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes and talks to Parai, it does have an effect on him. Because we find that Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to Parai, the younger of the Parai Elot, I must say, yes, I don't love all of my case. And after Parai said, let's let them out. Are you Shabbos Moshe Ben Sarai no Parai? Moshe Hara called back. The discussions begin. So that conversation number two, the conversation from Moshe Rabbeinu to Parai, had an effect. That's a measure of effect. And therefore here, the Torah does not give details of the Makkah until the second conversation. In the first conversation, V'yem Hashem al Moshe, it does not say what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe. And therefore Rashi says, V'hisrabai. Hashem did tell Moshe what to tell Parai, what to warn him. He did tell him. Don't think he didn't. In the other seven Makkos, I would never think he did, because the Torah says all the same. Here, with the style changed, Rashi has to tell us V'hisrabai, that he told him that. And so there's a difference between the seven Makkos and Parshas Vayera, where Moshe's talking to Parai had no influence, and those Makkos here in Parshas Bahi, well, it's in. He adds that perhaps that's why there's a blank of Parshas between the seven and the three. It's very strange that the Torah should divide in separate Parshas the seven Makkos and the three Makkos. When Ezra divided the Parshas, why did he divide it this way? The Baal HaTorah says, Bai is the Matri of three. Three Makkos in this parasha. And the reason is, the other seven Makkos did not at all change Paro. Nothing happened to Paro. But these three markers were different. So Parshas Va'era, as opposed to Parshas Vay, has a basic difference in the conversation, the way the conversation went from Moshe to Paro. This is the first idea. Let me move to a second idea, an incredibly beautiful word. From a sefer that I'm not familiar with, the sefer's name is Keren Ladavid, and it was written by a Dayan in pre-war Sattler. If you want to see the sefer, a beautiful sefer, it's in the Ezra's Rashin, in the Yeshiva or Samaach in Yerushalayim. And he explains on the Pasuk L'man Revois Moivsai Deretz Mitzrayim, or Kira Pasuk Tes, he explains the fundamental difference between the Makkos of Parshas Va'era and Vay that creates the opposite of Parshas B'Shalach, and he explains the following insight. When the Makkos took place in Mitzrayim, it was not clear to Klal Yisrael that the purpose of the Makkos had anything to do with God's law for the Jewish people. It may be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished the Egyptians because they had been so cruel. They were such Rishayim. And we have a rule, as the Navi Habakkuk says in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yimol. So, hiring the Hayimei Ra'is Berah, Habeta Oven Lo Yuchal. The Kaddish Baruch Hu is unhappy with evildoers. So perhaps the Makkos was just a punishment mitzvah. You see, in all Makkos, the Shinoi HaTeva, the change in nature, was in the punishment of the Egyptians. What happened to the Jews was just a continuation of normal life. The Shinoi HaTeva, the punishment to the Mitzrayim, did not befall the Jewish people. But the Jews did not have any miracle take place on their behalf. When Klal Yisrael comes to the answer, the reverse takes place. Klal Yisrael is saved by Shinoi HaTeva. Klal Yisrael is saved by a miracle. As the Egyptians were destroyed by a return to Teva, that seems going back to the natural way. And the Pasuk says, in Parshas B'Shalach, Perkei Tala Pasuk of Zayin, V'yei Moshe es Yavei al Hayam, V'yashav Hayam l'Lifnei Zbaker l'Ei Sanai, that the Yam returns to its natural state. Of course, the Mitzvah were already in the middle of the Yam and were therefore drowned. But you see, it's the reverse. The Ten Makkos, the miracles are miracles of punishment. The Klal Yisrael was saved by not being affected by those miracles, by living in a natural order. And Kriyas Yantzav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu thought, showed his love for the Jewish people. The miracle was to save Klal Yisrael. And then it was the Mitzvah who were punished by a return to Derech HaTeva. This decided the difference between the Makkos and Kriyas Yantzav explains numerous sukkim, as he explains there, and I'll try to share with you a couple of them. He says, in Tehillim, Kuvot, Pasuk Zayin, it says, Avitzeil Mitzrayim lo yiskilu nifloisecha. Our forefathers in Egypt did not understand the miracles. What does that mean? They didn't understand the miracles. He says it means, Avitzeil Mitzrayim. Until they left Egypt, they did not understand the miracles. They didn't know if the miracles were out of love for the Jewish people or not. The Mitzrayim, once they left Mitzrayim, of course, things did change. Another pasuk has to explain. Vayasha Hashem v'yam ulas Yisrael miyad Mitzrayim v'yay Yisrael v'yadak v'yadak v'yashar v'yashar v'yamitzrayim. This pasuk, later in Perek Yidala, pasuk Lamed Lamed Aleph, is something we say in David. He touches it so beautifully. It says, Vayasha Hashem v'yam ulas Yisrael miyad Mitzrayim. On the day of Kriyas Yamsof, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped the Jewish people. And at that moment, v'yay Yisrael v'yadak v'yashar v'yashar v'yamitzrayim. Now they understood God's great hand that had happened previously when they were still in Egypt, when they were still in Mitzrayim. Another explanation, by Yishma Yisrael, when Yisrael comes, he heard Kriyas Yamsuf, Mokhan Samalek, and he came. What about the Makkos? Well, why did Yisrael come? Because of the Ten Makkos. Only Kriyas Yamsuf? And again, the answer is that from the Makkos, he would not have known of any type of Ahava of the Klal Yisrael. It was only when Kriyas Yamsuf took place that the Ahava was shown. And then it says that he sat by Moshe L'chaisnai. Moshe Rabbeinu told Yisrael the story. I mean, he told him the story. Yisrael had heard already. No. Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu told Yisrael, everything that took place, including the Makkos, of Eidos Yisrael, was also because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for Klal Yisrael. Another pasuk that's explained at Yamsuf, Perek Yud Aleph, pasuk Chafei. By Yomer Mitzrayim, when the Egyptians saw what was taking place, they said, Anusa Mitzrayim Yisrael, I will flee. Ki Hashem Nilcham Lahem in Mitzrayim, because God did battle for them in Egypt. Now Rashi says, I think Hashem did battle in Egypt. This was Kriyas Yamsuf. Rashi beat the Pshat, Hashem Nilcham Lahem in Mitzrayim against the Mitzrayim. But according to our part, it's much more beautiful. Anusa, now they realize, Ki Hashem Nilcham Lahem in Mitzrayim. Kesh Baruch Hu's Mokama was on their behalf. How beautiful. What a beautiful way of looking at it. And I would add a couple of additional points that are answered in the Tefisa. We know that the Biza Sayan, or Kleistral collected from the booty of the Amsa, are greater than Biza Sinsari, greater than what they demanded of Egypt. Why should it be that way? Why didn't you see a Sinsari in Egypt? Shalayan or Sinsarabic? Wasn't that Nevuah Mekoyim when they left Egypt? Why did God make Biza Sayan bigger? According to what was saying, it's beautiful. The Rebbeinu Shalom wanted to show that the Amar of Yisrael is greater than the Sinner of Rishoyim, the Sinner of Mitzrayim. And therefore, in the Yam, more had to take place. Then this explains the Brisa that we read at the Haggadah, the Mitzrayim Laku Esther Makais, Ala Yam Laku Hamisha Makais, or more. Why in the Yam more Makais than Mitzrayim? Beautiful. In Mitzrayim, it was not a clear demonstration of Ahavas Yisrael. It was a punishment to Rishon. So it took place at a certain level. When it came to the Yamsuf and Kodesh Baruch Hu showed his Ahava, that's greater. Ahava is always a greater Mina. And therefore, it took place so much more forcefully. There's a beautiful idea, if you'll remember it, to the Haggadah, to the Havart for Pesach as well. A very gishmak, a beautiful idea. In closing, I'll share with you a third Vart. This Vart comes from the Pachad Yitzchak in Mamore Pesach. And it's a beautiful insight, the Tzimut Samach, on the miracle of B'chol B'nei Yisrael Le'echad Kelel L'Shayim. Seems to be a very incidental and minor benefit that when the Jews left Mitzrayim, the dogs did not bark. Okay, is that noteworthy? Given everything else that took place to Klal Yisrael, it's an extraordinary thing that dogs didn't bark. A footner gives an incredible insight. He says the following. Chazal say that a dog has chutzpah. A dog is the simon of chutzpah. For example, when it talks about the nikkus of the Mashiach, it says, B'nei Hadar, B'nei Hakela, chutzpah yavki. The face of the generation is like a face of a dog. It has chutzpah. If people, what is the chutzpah of a dog? Most people will answer you that it's the barking and the biting of dogs that's their chutzpah. Our footner says that we're correct, on the contrary. The chutzpah of a dog is that a dog is man's best friend. A dog sees itself as a friend to a human being. There's no other animal that has that type of a feeling towards people, a peril feeling. It's a chutzpah. Human beings are so much more elevated. How can a dog feel to be a human being's friend? It's only the world that doesn't appreciate the greatness of human beings, where a person could think that it's a beautiful thing that a dog is man's best friend. Says Rav Hutner, the chutzpah is that the dog sees himself as a friend of humankind. Now that explains very well the metaphor that the generation of Ikras HaDemeshicha before Mashiach comes, Tnei HaDark, Tnei HaKelaz, Chutzpah Yavki. Indeed, the chutzpah of our generation is not that people bark. It's that people don't recognize the greatness of elders, people don't recognize the greatness of righteous people. It's that Nida of the chutzpah of the Kelaz. With this, we come back to our parsha. Le'yecharat Kelav L'shayne, we're not talking about the incidental benefit that dogs didn't bark. the dogs in Mitzrayim, the animal that's the last to appreciate Godless Adam, the last to appreciate the greatness of humankind, the dogs recognized the holiness, the elevated level of the Jewish people as they left Mitzrayim. They didn't consider themselves friends of the Jewish people. They certainly didn't bark against the Jewish people. They saw the elevated level. They had the awe of this generation, of the generation of Yetzir Mitzrayim. You look inside. Now, Le'echav Kel Lashon is not an incidental benefit. It's an exhibition of the fact that if the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, they were elevated on a higher level of Kedusha. And so, three thoughts for the day. One from the Sefer called Hegyanei Rashi, one from the Keren Ledavid, and one from the Sefer I quoted more often, the Pachad Yitzchak. Three beautiful ideas on the parasha with this. I wish one and all an absolutely wonderful Shabbat.